Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Hello and hi, I am Dan Day, and it's a Miami Monday. You know what we do on the show, Miami Monday, go together. Monday's a tough day, so we make a little extra Miami to smooth things out for you. So we're going to have some good local Miami music throughout the show, not to mention going to be checking in with the Joe Rose Show. They're talking to Coach Quinville. Hockey. Needs to happen. Dan Lebatard's show. They're getting into the unfun parts of the NBA. Then Hawk and not Crowder, but instead Dono, because Crowder's still on paternity leave, talking scatology. Not so much. But these headlines will make you go, Three Heat players have tested positive for COVID-19. Miami is scheduled to restart the season August 1st against Denver in Orlando. Despite four of its players testing positive for coronavirus, the Marlins will open the season in Philadelphia July 24th. Jorge Masvidal says he has signed a multi-fight contract with the UFC. The Miami native will fight Kamaru Usman Saturday at UFC 251. This past weekend at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, Joey Chestnut broke the world record by downing 75 dogs in just 10 minutes. President Trump tweeted that he believes the noose-like rope found in Bubba Wallace's garage was a hoax. An FBI investigation found that the rope was not placed there as a hate crime. Bryson DeChambeau is favored to win the Masters when it takes place in November. DeChambeau won the Rocket Mortgage Classic over the weekend. And now, we take a step into the day spa. A paragliding instructor in Turkey recently glided through the sky on a couch while watching his TV. Nah, I've heard of social distancing. That's crazy. A woman is taking some heat online after admitting to peeing in her friend's shower. Meh, mi casa es su casa. A female British wedding guest is being accused of stealing the bride's thunder after recently wearing a red see-through dress to the wedding. I don't know, looks good to me. Now on to weather. Tonight's forecast, chance of rain with temperatures in the low 80s. This morning, Joe Rose slept in. So, what did I do? No worries. Dug into the vault for the Joe Rose Show. They recently talked with Coach Q, and they got into it, man. Talking about the Panthers. What is the Panthers' plan when the NHL finally restarts? Also, is Bob getting right? And the NHL, it is going to be wide open.
Listen, man, we want anything that moves right now, that competes. We're all in on it after the last few months. By the way, what's it been like, Coach, for you kind of waiting to find out when you can start practicing with your team and what all the new rules and regulations will be around this coronavirus? And by the way, where you're going to be playing at, all that stuff. What's it been like?
Well, we've been in a kind of a holding pattern in that regard, but we got a lot of guys in town right now. We've got 19 guys been skating. We're probably going to get close to 20 something in the next few days. Got them in two groups right now. We went from a six group to a 10 and two with goalies. They're out there. They seem like the last few days have been picking up the intensity, waiting to find out where we're going to be playing, where we're going to start, when we're going to start. But it's getting closer to that July 10th line where we should be anticipating camp starting up for like maybe 3 weeks or so, and getting to a point where we're going to be playing. Still a lot of things got to be sorted out, like the whole world is in every situation, and we're waiting to finally push through and get started. But that's it's been an interesting time right now. But our guys are I got to commend them and how well they've been preparing themselves and doing everything they can to put themselves ready to go.
Coach, how does Edmonton and Toronto sound for two locations for the East and West? How's that sound? That could happen.
Well, that's fine. You know, I think they got great ranks. They got they got not a lot of reports of incidences. That's a possibility. Whether Vegas is still in the mix, I think there's four teams with Chicago. One more possibility. I think this was the week where we're probably going to hear where we're going to go. And then after that, I think you look forward to planning and how basically everybody's going to be in the same situation when you get to those cities. I think it's up to your teams to get do what they have to do, and that's play hockey, trying to win and get back to that competitiveness that we all enjoy. And you mentioned at the top that, hey, that's what we're looking forward to seeing, and I'm sure as players, they can't wait to do it as well.
Coach, what's the preparation been like for you, not going into the start of a season right now, but going right into the playoffs, right into the play-in, to see what's going on? I know that with the players, it's the testing, the conditioning, hockey in general, but for a coach's standpoint right now, what's the prep been like for you going right into the mix, right into the playoffs?
Well, we'll get our team there, and we get to get on the ice with them there for probably 3 weeks. We want to reinforce how we want to play. We want to get back to that way we finished playing. It looked like we playing a much better and more effective game without the puck, more of a check mentality when we don't have it. We're not looking to outscore our opponents and do that on a regular basis. Every single day we get on the ice, remind ourselves how we were playing at that time and get up to speed. There'll be reminders as we go into the series of how the Islanders play, what we got to be aware of. We felt we played pretty well against them all three games this year, and we didn't beat them, but I think the games were all close. I thought territorially we did some good things. The thing that I got to commend them on is they're patient. They play a smart, patient game. They just try to keep it safe. They're going to, you give up territorial advantage, but they play the right way. It's going to come down to battles in front of the net, puck battles, and something like that we can reinforce in camp as well.
Coach, I know it's a team sport, but Sergei Bobrovsky has got to be excited about coming back, I'm guessing, healthy and getting a chance to show why you guys gave him all that money in the offseason and play. A lot of guys don't get this kind of second chance to really regroup, get healthy, and show what you can do in this situation. Do you feel that way a little bit, too? You know you need a hot goalie in this tournament.
Absolutely, I agree. I think Bob's in a position where, the year went along here, and he had some stretches where he was fine, and I think some stretches where, Bob, can be at that level where he can win hockey games or, give you a chance to get points in every single game. And I thought where we're at right now, he's got a chance to win for us and to prove that he's the top goalie in the game. But goaltending, especially right off the bat, it's going to be so important for teams, because I think goalies, sometimes I feel that as the start of the season, goaltending is it's an acquired taste, and they seem to finally get in their groove. It's almost like in this situation where all teams, everybody's got to get a groove right off the bat. And I think Bob's doing everything he can to help himself. Dallas is spending a lot of time with him. I think it's a great opportunity for him to put this season where all of a sudden we're only going to remember how he finishes, and let's go from there. But that can really add a lot to the confidence of our team, and I think Bob as well.
Obviously a lot of pressure on Bobrovsky, but what about Aaron Ekblad? He's been very productive this season under you and that defense. How important is he to play well also defensively for this team in front of Bobrovsky?
Well, that Ek had really good stretches there, and I thought right at the end, kind of what we're trying to reinforce of how we play on our own end, how we're coverage around our net. I think offensively, Ek's got, he's tremendous with the puck and playmaking ability. Him and Weegs, I think, really made a nice pair for us. But I think Ek defensively improved in certain situations, but I thought he was playing his best defensively right at the end when we talked as a team how we wanted to improve if we want to win. And I think Ek really showed that he can do the little things that can help keep puck out of our net. I think he does have the upside with it, with the puck as well.
Coach, one of the interesting things about this tournament, everybody's been off the same amount of time, but I'm really curious about, like, Boston was having a great year at 100 points. Tampa Bay was there. Washington, St. Louis. I guess the unknown is how good are they going to be coming back? Can they get it back quickly, or is it going to take time? Because they start slow. They get knocked out of this friggin' tournament real quickly. What are your thoughts? You believe the best teams will still be the best teams, or could they have lost their mojo a little bit?
Well, I think going into any playoffs, there's a lot of unpredictability, but this one is for sure the most unpredictable. And anybody can get hot, and anybody can win. And I think we're talking about goaltending a little while ago, the importance of that to a team all of a sudden getting hot. 3 out of 5 series right off the bat, there could be a lot of surprises. And, you know, you'll have some unsung guys all of a sudden. Sudden getting on a roll, you know, they're going to be close checking games. You're going to see all of a sudden the game be a little bit on the line from start to finish. And then when you get in that checking mentality, all of a sudden some of the top guys will be hard to manufacture production. Now, there could be a lot of surprises. I think everybody has a chance. I mean, this is one year where you can say, well, you got 24 teams, you got to win 5 rounds. You only got to win 1 round at a time. So that's where we're at.
The coronavirus, obviously, is still off the side there with this whole thing. I'm just curious, as we look at this tournament, do you need extra players from the minor league? Will that be part of this thing, too?
Yeah, everybody's going to have up to 28 skaters and up to as many goalies as you want, which is like probably 4 per team. So that's what we're going to have. We'll probably have a practice group of 5 lines, 8 defensemen, 2 goalies, and upwards of probably 32 players in our group. So they'll be with us, and I think every team in the league will be going into the bubble with that group of guys.
Coach, you're going to get a lot out of watching those tapes from the Islanders this year. You know, obviously you said earlier you lost 3 times, some swept by them this year. How much are you going to get from watching those tapes, knowing that it's basically almost a brand new season coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, that's when we're playing it, no matter who you're playing, it's how we play as a team we worry about. And I think that's what we want to reinforce. We want to make sure we got balance in our lines. We want their excitement in our team game, purpose as well, and be aware of what they're trying to do. But it's more so what we do, and that's what we're going to try to get excited about and work off of that.
Coach, you know as well as anybody, because you've been here before in these playoffs a lot, and you've won it all, and you know about your best players got to play the best. We've said it. We've talked about Barkov and Huberdeau, and I know coaches will say, well, you know, it's got to be everybody, but your best players, and my God, you had 2 special players that are still playing at a high level, by the way, from Chicago. Now that you've seen that, you still feel that way with Huberdeau and Barkov? Have got to have, when this is said and done, if this team's going to have great success, we're going to be talking about those 2 guys. Is that fair?
Well, when I look at expectations, you know, whether it's collectively or individually, you know, obviously you need your top guys to, even if they don't produce, you need these guys controlling the play. They need these guys to be at their best. Eventually they're going to get their turn to be productive, and they're going to make a difference in a big game at a big moment. And we've always had success when our best players, deeper in series and deeper in the playoffs, they just seem to rise to that occasion. And I think that when you look at some teams that differential won in the Stanley Cup, those big guys really, really make a difference at the key times. And that's where we're going to need these guys to have a big influence on not just the production and how they're playing night in, night out.
Hey, Coach, from some of the other sports, we've heard guys like, yeah, I really don't know about playing. We've been off so long. Whatever else is going on that we've talked about over the last couple of months, it's just weird. Have you had any of that on your team? Have there been a few guys that, I'll go back. I don't know. I'm not – like, mentally, if you're not into it, you shouldn't be out there because you're going to get hurt or you're going to suck playing. So have you had that at all, Coach?
Well, you hear about it. You know, certain guys have mentioned a few things about their concerns, and I think that's the whole league's concern, is that safety is paramount, doing everything they can to make sure that everybody's in that right phase. And everybody's got different issues, whether they've been around it. There's been a lot of exposure here recently with some teams in different areas. So, you know, you've had young kids. What's the process going to – and I think the players are going through that process right now of sorting it all out. So their safety is what their concerns, and those are the things that they're dealing with. And I think I'm sure there's people on every single team that some players need some reassurances in certain areas and before they go forward, and understandably so.
Coach, without getting, you know, anyone upset here, how excited are you just to be getting out of the house and going back to hockey and hockey regiment and watching
Coach
tapes?
Coach likes it at home.
This.
Stop.
First no,
all,
I'm not.
That Coach
I'm
likes
not
being
trying
home
to
with
get
his
him
wife.
In trouble.
Well,
no,
that's what
I'm
it sounded like.
I'm tired of watching horses, okay?
Thank you. Coach, I just wanted honesty. That's all I cared about. I'm not trying to get you in trouble with the wife. Listen, my wife, Joe, too, and Joe will admit this, too. If that studio opened up tomorrow, I'd be walking down to Miami to that studio to get out of the house for a little bit. I'm kind of jealous you get to go, whether it's Vegas, Toronto, Edmonton, doesn't matter where it is. I'm kind of jealous you get to go back to work.
Well, stay away from Dale Talon. He's trouble, man. That guy, he says some stuff. I was crying all day, some of the stuff he said. I mean, that guy, he's out there. His wife really doesn't like him, right? Is it fair to say Dale Talon's wife really doesn't like him after all these years? There's a good chance of that. Hey, thanks, Coach, for coming on, man.
Meg loves Dale. Yeah.
See, yeah. Joe's trying to get Dale in trouble. I wasn't trying to get you in trouble, Coach.
He's wild. They've been together a long time. It's okay. Right. Coach, thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Joe Rose, Zach Krantz, Hollywood, they're back tomorrow live on the radio from 5 to 10 a.m. Coach Quinville and the Florida Panthers, they're back eventually. Can't say exactly when or where, but whenever the NHL playoffs resume, they're going to be coming full force, I guarantee. And we're going to be carrying each and every one of the games. Doug Plagan's going to be on the call. Going to be good to get some NHL action in eventually, like I said. Speaking of action, Dan Le Batard show.
That has to be the least fun team to play for if you're not Russell Westbrook or James Harden, right? Like, is there another one?
Who wants to play for the Rockets? I mean, I do because I'd like to make the money, but that, and it's a Miami Monday. So next, a great Miami artist for you here on the Best of the Joe Show. This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and it's a Miami Monday. Best parts about Mondays. It's getting that good Miami music. This happens to be an artist by the name of Mayday. It's actually a group. Groundhog Day, featuring some familiar voices, CeeLo Green and DJ Craze. Miami's own Mayday with Groundhog Day. They're actually signed to Tech N9ne's record label, Strange Music. This is strange, but it's oh so good from Mayday. I get you, Mayday, right here on a Miami Monday. Some love for you, for Mayday, for music in general. That's the best part about Mondays, the Miami Monday. Music from right here in MIA. Another great part about Mondays, Dan Le Batard Show. They're always making it happen. Weekdays from 10 to 1, but they're off. Kind of like the Joe Rose Show. I wonder why. Oh, yeah, 4th of July, COVID-19, holidays. It's all good. Reach back into the vault for them also. Dan Le Batard, Stu Gatz, all the guys. Talking about who wants to play for the Rockets. And J.R. Smith just living in the moment.
Because I learned that Thabo Sefolosha was a Rocket when he opted out of the Orlando bubble, because what he had to be thinking to himself, wait a minute, I'm not going to go over here and stand in this corner where the coronavirus might be and watch James Harden dribble. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to just sit here and watch Russ, right? Like, that has to be the least fun team to play for if you're not Russell Westbrook or James Harden, right? Like, is there another one? Are the Lakers less fun because everything is moving through Anthony Davis or LeBron James? Because LeBron James at least involves people. Like, in terms of being teammates with guys, do you think that there can be a job less fun than being teammates with the playing styles of Russell Westbrook and James Harden that require enormous usage rate?
No. I would say LeBron, if he has the right people, I think it's a lot of fun. Like, those Heat teams, they had so much fun. He had the right teammates, the right people around. around him. LeBron was fun. The team had fun. So I would say, yeah, James Harden. Like, I'm going to go and risk my life, risk my health to watch that man dribble in a corner.
LeBron, and I'm sure you've seen the news out there, J.R. Smith, it's being formalized. Like, he's going to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I saw people on The Jump, and The Jump does an excellent job of breaking down the NBA, but I couldn't help but laugh and hear people describe J.R. Smith. This is a guy that has been to the NBA finals.
He won't shrink in the moment. His experience is forgetting the score in the final.
They said this, I think it was Windhorse, it said this with a straight face. He won't shrink in the moment. And I'm like, really? Because it's become the most famous J.R. Smith moment, him shrinking in the finals and forgetting what the time was.
What he won't do is he won't think in the moment. That's what Windhorse should have said.
That's what that is. That is more, it is so much more accurate. Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Will J.R. Smith think in the moment? Yes or no? Because I actually don't think, Mike, I do believe this is an important distinction that we're making today, as all of our analysis is about rhyming words with each other, whether it's Danger Russ becoming Ranger Russ, or I do believe the gift that J.R. Smith has is he won't shrink in the moment because he's incapable of thinking in the moment.
It might not be good in the moment.
Yeah, and he's just going to keep putting up jumpers. Like, he's not going to have any fear of putting up jumpers, except when he forgets the score and the situation and he runs out the clock and LeBron yells at him on the court. Yeah. I'm still of the opinion that LeBron James is better at forgiveness, given what happened with Zan Gilbert and J.R. Smith, than he is at basketball.
And now he's got Waiters and J.R. Smith. You know, they always say this about gunslingers in the NFL. He has a short memory. You know, shake off that interception. Apparently, J.R. Smith's memory is shorter than 24 seconds because he'll forget the shot clock situation.
From this standpoint, it's going to be fun. It's kind of like opening day Major League Baseball, where you're going to watch an NBA team play in the playoffs and be like, when did they get that guy? Like, that's going to be fun for at least a couple of days.
Have you seen the way that LeBron is trying to change the math, in that if he wins one with Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith, does that really count as two NBA titles in Sugats' personal record book? Giannis has already gone out publicly because this serves Giannis. This will be the hardest championship anyone has ever had to win.
It's you know what, I heard him say that, and he might be right. I mean, seriously, they had home court advantage. That has been taken away. There are no fans. I do think that's a big
factor.
They were
overwhelming all regular season.
Yeah.
Under normal conditions, they were overwhelming everyone. I just want you guys to absorb, though, that LeBron James is adding a player to his team that forgot the score in the final, and it is not the player on his team that had a seizure on an airplane because he had too many edibles. Mm-hmm. I just want you to absorb that those are not the same player. And also JaVale McGee is on that team as well. Champion JaVale McGee, who also will not shrink or think in the moment. Champion.
Correct.
JaVale McGee. And yet, this is not the funniest basketball thing that we have happening, because I do believe that the funniest basketball thing we have happening is just the general state of the Nets, okay? I remembered the other day that DeAndre Jordan was a Net when he tested positive for coronavirus. Yeah. I remembered that, and it made me fondly remember when the Clippers and Dallas fought over DeAndre Jordan in a way that made the Clippers lock DeAndre Jordan in his own home. DeAndre Jordan is not the funniest thing happening with the Nets, because you got Flat Earther Kyrie and Kevin Durant sort of trolling the internet as an egg avatar. And yet another positive coronavirus test for a team that shouldn't even participate, given how many positive tests they have and that they're not very good and that they're not going to have the health of their players. I will remind you again that Spencer Dinwiddie started at the beginning of this pandemic a GoFundMe trying to raise $25 million, and the second biggest donation he had gotten was $69 from somebody who wrote that they were giving $69 and the Knicks are poopy poop butt butt soup, I believe was, I think I'm quoting that correctly. That's a thing that happened. So he was trying to raise $25 million and the second biggest donation came from poopy poop butt butt soup.
Fell just short, huh?
Yeah, just came up a little short.
The NBA is kind of right now, but I think they'll be all right once they get restarted. Should be a whole lot of fun. Zion Williamson's birthday is today. We'll celebrate that a little while on. because, after all, I am a huge Pelicans fan, originally from New Orleans. Yes, 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 Zion, let's do this. Ooh, speaking of doing this, Hawk, not on vacation. Dono, not on vacation. Crowder, on paternity leave. They're working through things.
Well, I have blown up some bathrooms.
Scatology next. And, oh yeah, it's Monday, so got some more Miami Monday music for you here on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day on Twitter, at Dan Day Radio, hashtag Miami Monday. Let me know what makes you so Miami, and if I like it, I may read it out on the air. Speaking of Miami, speaking of Monday, speaking of liking it, Miami artist Mayday, New Blessings.
Tony Wright, let's make some room. Come on.
Oh, yes. The best part of Monday is some Miami Monday music from Miami artist Mayday. It's actually a band. I don't know why I keep calling it an artist. Miami Monday Mayday. Dan Day. New Blessings. This song is a blessing.
Apologize in advance. Let me excuse my future acts. Let me say sorry now. We've lit up your feelings. Some sort of way after the dance. You know more things of a chance. Changing my latitude and my longitude and my attitude.
Making you feel good on a Monday with Miami artist Mayday. Always feeling good with Hawk and Crowder, even though Crowder taking care of the kids. So you got Hawk and Dono. Only one word can explain this next one: Scatology.
You know where Nelly is from, Dono?
St. Louis.
The Lou, that's right.
Yeah.
Did not see that correct answer coming.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I actually, I listened to a lot of Nelly, like, back when he first came out, and so I can remember every song he mentions prominently that he's from St. Louis. Like, it's impossible, yes. If you've ever listened to him, it's impossible not to know that.
100% correct. All right, we're going to do something special this week on the show. It's going to be Competitive Eating Week. We've spoken with a ton of competitive eaters and the commissioner of Major League Eating, George Shea, numerous times during the history of this show, and everyone was watching the hot dog eating contest on July 4th, especially because it was one of the few live sporting events going on. And I told you we won earlier in the show. We won money this weekend betting the under on Badlands Booker and the over on Mickey Sudo. Mickey Sudo and Joey Chestnut both set records. Joey Chestnut in the male division, Mickey Sudo in the female division. So we're going to go into the archives all week with competitive eaters. Play the Into the Archives open, Solana.
Did you miss it last week?
Not at all.
You're off 3 days.
It's not that I love going into the archives. It's this open has just become interminable. What we're going to do right here is go back. It just takes a long time to get there.
I don't know. It's kind of growing on me.
Is it? Right here is
go back. No.
Back into time. All right, here we go. So one of the requisite questions that you have to ask, and these are just very quick clips, one of the requisite questions that you have to ask competitive eaters the first time that you talk to them is, what is it like to, you know, evacuate? Like it's not just hot dogs. I think the Badlands, did you listen to any of these clips that I sent you, Solana?
Yeah, I listened to all of them.
Which one talks about corn? Because one of them is the corn champion. Like,
that's
it's
rough.
Not. Yeah, I mean, you know. So it's not just hot dogs. You know, it's these competitive eating contestants. They're eating an amount of food that is not meant for human consumption, and then they have to expel it. And so that's everyone's question, right? Everyone's curious what that's like, right? I mean, what do you think Joey Chestnut did? So the contest was at noon on Saturday. How much time do you think he spent in the bathroom Saturday, like from 3 o'clock till, you know, today? I mean, it had to be hours, right?
Yeah. It had to be.
That can't be smooth.
I hope for his sake he has one of those Japanese toilets where it just it makes it so the cleanup is so easy.
Makes it one of the things I miss most about Japan.
Me too.
Those Toto toilets. So here we go. I thought we would take a little trip into the archives and just play the little part of each interview where we ask these competitive eaters what it's like after the event. So I'm going to start with Joey Chestnut, who set a record on Saturday. He is the Michael Jordan of competitive eating. No one comes even close to being able to eat what he can eat. So here is Joey Chestnut answering. I think this was a couple years ago. He was on with me and Crowder. Here he is answering that indelicate question. And I know this is a delicate question. Joey Chestnut is with us, but you're going to consume what I would imagine is going to be a gargantuan amount of food. You don't live in Florida. Do you have to set aside a couple days in order for bowel movements, or do you fly? I mean, you can't get caught on an airplane.
Well, I have blown up some bathrooms. I fly out the next day. I think it's 7 p.m. Things will start moving along right about 4 hours after the contest.
Oh, really? That soon?
Of course. Yeah, because, well, there's no trick, really, but I go in absolutely empty. And I've trained my body that I'm taking in that amount of food, set up with a clean highway, so there's not going to be any roadblocks. So things are starting to happen like 4 hours later, and then it takes about a day and a half to really feel normal. So all the next day, I'm still feeling a little lethargic. Like anybody who pushes their body to a stupid limit is gonna feel like garbage for a day and a half. And I go in knowing that.
Yeah, I really wanted to get the official size, but I couldn't ask that. You know what I mean? Like. You know, is it a two flusher? It's got to be a two. It's got to be like a five flusher, right?
Well, I was going to say he just set the world record on Saturday. So after 75 dogs, that's probably a five flusher.
And buns. Yeah, think about that. 75 hot dog buns.
Crazy.
Running through your system. So here's Miki Sudo. Now, she is, without question, to female competitive eating, what Joey Chestnut is to male competitive eating. No one comes close to the amount of food that she can eat. She was on. This was actually, Crowder was off that day. It was me and Ira, and we had this really interesting interview with Miki Sudo. But I tried to ask her about the bowel movements. You're going to be able to tell here. She is totally uncomfortable talking about this. She just doesn't want to. She's changing the subject, and it's just, I don't think I get much of an answer here, but here is Miki Sudo answering the same question. No, I know this is indelicate, but what is, like, the recovery time after eating all those hot dogs, like, that can't be the fun part.
I would say a good, it doesn't sound as extreme as it feels, but probably a day where I'm kind of miserable and, you know, my body's not used to taking in fats and calories and, you know, but you just have to adapt to it. But that's probably because on a regular basis, I eat pretty healthy. And so, you know, when you go from like kale and quinoa and avocado to a bunch of buns and hot dogs, you know, your body's going to react a certain way.
Yeah, I can't believe that you recover after a day, though. Like, I feel like I'd be walking around feeling disgusting for a week.
And that's not saying anything about Nathan's hot dogs, because I definitely enjoy the food, but, you know, whenever you push your body to the extreme for 10 minutes, you're going to feel the consequences for some time.
Yeah, she didn't want to talk about duty. Like, you can listen to that. Like, she's hemming and hawing. Like, that seems to be off limits for her. So,
yeah. You know, and you pressed it a little bit, but not
I tried to soften it a little bit. Like, hey, if it was me, I think I'd feel bloated for a week. Like, give me a little something, but no, nothing. Here is Yasir Salem. Now, he is the world champion Tour de Donut competitor. I told you about this earlier in the show. This dude, if you ever look at him online, like, he is a legit athlete. He runs marathons. He's in crazy good shape. But the Tour de Donut, it's a combination marathon bike tour, like 50 or 100 miles, and donut eating. So he eats like 50 or 60 donuts during that time. It's a fascinating interview. We'll play it this week. But here he is talking about the after effects of competitive eating.
This is a delicate question, but corn doesn't digest particularly well. So how does that end?
I wish I could share a picture with you. It's crazy.
No, you don't have to. No. know. Just tell me.
Well, I got to be a DM. Don't include my name.
Think of the biggest cream can of corn you can.
All right. Enough. I got gotcha. You. I got gotcha. You. Okay.
That's,
all right.
That's it.
I got gotcha. You. So he wow. was more forthcoming. That was that when I had asked you before who was the corn competitor. I think he's the world champion corn on the cob eater. Now that I hear that, and
like he actually gave you too much. Like Mickey Sudo gave you nothing, and then this guy was like offering to send you photos. Like, okay, that's enough, bro.
And then finally, our friend Badlands Booker, who has really turned out to be a friend of the radio show. But this interview was the first one that we had ever done with him. This was several years ago, and so I had to ask him the same question. Do you have any advice about what happens a few hours later? You know, and not to sound disgusting, but obviously you've ingested a large quantity of hot dogs and buns in a short period of time, and so what should one expect?
Well, they should, you know, it's just been a lot of gas, you know, and just drink a lot of water, okay?
And
lot of water.
I don't know how to ask this. Like, how can you dispose of all the hot dogs and buns in one sitting?
Well, not in one sitting. Uh-huh. I mean, I have to have several sittings, you know, during the night.
do you have to prepare the rest of the day? Like, if you get a big win in Coney Island, you probably got a lady with you or something, but you can't get with that woman and go anywhere because you don't know when them hot dogs are on the way out.
Oh, no, I'm going straight back to the hotel room and just watch ESPN and let nature take its course.
And would that be, I'm guessing that would almost be like an ACL injury for a typical athlete if you had a blockage or something, right? If you were constipation, I'm guessing, I'm asking, is constipation a fear or like could that throw you off a game?
Oh yeah, I mean if you can't evacuate, you know the foodstuffs, then it will be pretty bad.
Right. Come on,
that's why you got to train and stay hydrated. You got to drink your water so everything flows.
But there has to be some contest where like 3 days later you're saying to yourself, "This is not worth it. Like, what am I doing? Like, I just feel terrible. Nothing's working right."
Every contest is a learning experience. So it's like, you pretty much just, you know, take lessons learned from experiences that you experience, and then you just move on. And then, the next time you do it, okay, I know not to do that, not to do that, this and that and the third. And then, you know, you do better.
There you go. Badlands Booker, not one sitting, requires more than one sitting. So did we learn anything in this segment?
I learned a lot. Nothing from Mickey Sudo, but you know, when it comes to the corn, the cream corn, and Badlands Booker's his breakdown of how many sittings, I think I've learned enough to stay away from competitive eating.
That has to be the worst part of it. I mean, just I can't imagine because you have to be thinking to yourself, this isn't human. What's happening to you, right? But you've just eaten a ridiculous amount of.
When we dove into that segment, at first I was like, oh. But I can't turn away. I have to hear about this. And now, oddly enough, I really want some hot dogs. I've been seeing everybody posting online, eating them over the weekend, the hot dog eating contest. I didn't get me nanutta. Nanutta hot dog. Nanutta hamburger. Nanutta invite to a party. It's the world we live in now. So now I'm going to have to go to the dollar store, buy a bunch of cheap hot dogs and buns, put some mayonnaise on it, eat me some of them American hot dogs, and then maybe sit down for a little bit, as Badlands Booker said. Oh, speaking of celebrating, Zion Williamson, birthday boy. He is 20 years young today, looking ripped, looking cut, looking in shape. Hopefully not eating too many hot dogs, because we need him in shape for the NBA restart, the most exciting player in the NBA. And he's with the Pelicans, my hometown team. So excited to get the NBA restarted. Heat, Pelicans, NBA Finals. I can feel it. JJ Redick, earlier in the season, had something to say to Zion. Because JJ Redick, remember, has made it to the NBA playoffs every single year that he's been in the league. And I think he's been in the league for 16 years. Here's what he told Zion.
My first conversation, real conversation with Zion, was a couple weeks ago, and we got to chat for 20 minutes or so after one of the workouts. And the last thing I said to him, I said, "Look, man, don't f*** this up for me.
It was so funny. Like, he had just gave me some great advice, and then, I mean, the whole mood shifted. He was like, I'm 13 for 13. Don't mess this up for me. I'm like, JJ, why are you telling me? I'm a rookie.
Gotta love that right there. Ooh, August 1st. That is the restart for the Heat. They are going to be playing the Denver Nuggets in Orlando. Gonna be good. Gonna be good. Hoping MLS is back. Tournament happens Wednesday. I've been thinking about it all weekend. It is Inter Miami CF. Yeah, versus boo, Orlando City SC. I am so stoked for that. But getting back to birthdays, got to give a tip of the hat to the one and only Dalai Lama. Today, 85 years old. Also, he just released a new album. That's right. The Dalai Lama has music. He does it all, man. He does it all. It's released an album. There's some chanting on it. It's more, you know, monk-type music, but gotta like that. Gotta like that a lot. So Zion Williamson and the Dalai Lama. Zion and the Dalai Lama. Kind of goes together right there, even though they're 65 years apart. Such good stuff. Well, had a great time today. Miami Monday. Like to thank Mayday for sharing their music with us, making this Monday just a little bit more bearable and getting us through. Stay safe. Stay healthy. If you eat 75 hot dogs, do not tell me how your bathroom and scatology is going. I can already tell. We learned that from Hawk and Dono earlier today. You can always follow me on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. Remember, hashtag Miami Monday. This has been the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.